The following hour is brought to you by MidasResources.com, your trusted source for precious metals since 1996. Call Midas today at 1-800-686-2237.
It's another hour of What's on Your Mind. It is Election Day, but because it's Election Day, we've elected to give you a little space from the electioneering. And you're not going to hear from candidates. You're not going to hear about measures. You're not going to hear about issues on the ballot. Go vote. Do your civic duty. And then tomorrow we'll analyze it all. And, of course, have some election coverage for you tonight as well as the polls come in and they close. Talked to Al Jager last hour about the early voters and the absentee voters. And they'll begin populating the Secretary of State's website tonight with the tallies at 8 o'clock when all the polls close, 8 p.m. Central, when all the polls close tonight. So what do we talk about today? Well, in the first hour, we talked about gas prices. Let's find a more popular topic, and that's deer hunting. That's right. This weekend's the big opener. When 1/6 of North Dakota's population engages in a treasured activity, the deer gun opener. Jeb Williams is the new chief of the Wildlife Division at the North Dakota Game and Fish Department, here to preview the deer hunting season opener this weekend. And we might talk a little bit about pheasant hunting and the numbers so far, and some other things in the news. Your calls, questions, and comments are welcome for Jeb at 800-228-0550, 701-258-0550. I know nobody cares about deer hunting, so you probably won't get any questions, Jeb. I'm guessing you will. And that's why we're here. Thanks for joining us on a busy week. How you doing?
Well, I'm doing well, and I appreciate the invitation, and it's always a fun week in North Dakota. A lot of people have a lot of expectations, of course, before the deer opener, and just an exciting time for a lot of people. People really look forward to the deer season, friends, family. It's very much a holiday in North Dakota, and so we have some people that are going to be of course, have licenses for hunting and deer in North Dakota this year, but we also have many that are not going to be actively hunting, participating in tagging a deer this year. And so that's the downside of it, Scott. But we do have, again, a strong tradition, and we want to try to do our best to grow that deer population back, because we know that it's not meeting the public's expectations right now. But one of the things I always say with that is we need to have an understanding that North Dakota is 95% privately owned as far as landscape goes, and not everybody is interested in growing that deer herd back. There are some consequences for a high deer herd in North Dakota when you're talking about private property and the problems that can come with that during very tough winters and deer depredation and getting in stored livestock feed supplies. And so we need to be sensitive to those that as we move forward, and our goals are to grow the deer population. But we need to move forward with sensitivity with that.
Is it fair to say we've swung a little far the other way? We'd like to find some balance, this being the lowest number of deer tags issued since, what, 1980?
Correct. Yeah, I think very much so. I think that's a very good example that the pendulum has swung too far one direction. 150,000 licenses that we were issued in 2007, 2008, very much the other direction. The Game and Fish Department never had a goal, never our intention to issue that many deer licenses, but the combination of some very, very nice winters, extremely good habitat conditions across North Dakota with 3.5 million acres of CRP across the state, and again, combined with very, very nice winter weather and white-tailed deer, very, very prolific under the right conditions. And so that was not our intention to have that many deer, and of course, nor is it our intention to be only issuing 48,000 deer licenses as well.
You know, obviously there's a lot of disappointed folks out there because this is such a time-honored family tradition, and you have a low number of tags issued. But a lot of this is really out of your control, isn't it?
Well, there's some that are. I mean, we do take some blame for the deer reduction that was going on, and starting in 2007 when we started issuing when we were issuing a number of licenses, because like I just mentioned, it was never our goal to have that many deer. year. And so we were aggressive with the harvest strategy at that point in time. But then it was coupled with three very, very difficult winters, three of the toughest winters we've had in North Dakota for quite some time that I think really escalated the situation. And then, of course, again, the other factor there, the habitat factor of a lot of landscape changes going on in North Dakota with CRP leaving the landscape. So a lot of things kind of came together there that put this together where we are today.
Welcome. Your questions for our guests from the North Dakota Game and Fish Department on the deer opener or anything else on your mind. Jeb Williams is the new chief of the Wildlife Division, North Dakota Game and Fish Department. Here's the number, 701-258-0550, 701-258-0550, 800-228-0550 with your questions, your comments. Emails welcome, too. You can also go to Facebook, give us your questions there. Emails studio at whatsonyourmindradio.com. Or go to our Facebook page. Roger in Bismarck, first question for Jeb. Go ahead.
Okay, I have a question and a follow-up. First of all, yesterday I heard a terrible rumor that next year the Game and Fish is already talking about issuing one license per hunter, period, whether it be rifle, bow, or muzzleloader. You can only get one license. Has that been talked about?
That is accurate. Last year, Roger, we held 8 deer management meetings across the state, special deer managements, to talk about this issue. And the issue is that with the low number of licenses, we're in some pretty lean times, and we also have a lot of people that are very interested in still participating in deer hunting. And so the department has been exploring options to try to get as many people involved and try to have as much opportunity as possible out there for individuals wanting to deer hunt. And so it's the current system, what we have right now, to where we have a number of people that have multiple deer licenses, and we have a growing number of people that get that don't receive any deer licenses at all. And so that has created some issues for the department, and we've heard a lot of public feedback of looking at that issue and thinking the department might need to readdress how we allocate licenses. So that was, of course, the reason for holding the 8 deer management meetings, and that is a preferred alternative that we're going to be talking about at our upcoming advisor board meetings, which is a option if somebody can apply for both the gun and the rifle and the muzzleloader lottery. If you're not successful in one of those, the any deer, anywhere, over-the-counter archery bow license is still there, and so that it still allows somebody the opportunity to actually hunt yet that fall. So that's going to be something we're going to be talking about in a few weeks.
And I am one of them that hasn't been drawn for 4 or 5 years, and I know many other people, but I've gotten one with my bow. Okay, my follow-up is, if our licenses are going to be down so low, why are we still allowing out-of-state hunters to come in?
Well, by law, the department only issues 1% of deer gun licenses to non-residents. And so looking at those numbers, I mean, it's a very small amount of non-residents who actually are successful and able to actually draw a deer gun license. It's 1%. And non-resident archery licenses are just under 2,000. There's two different components of that. They have the non-resident any archery license, which is in a lottery. It's 15% of the previous year mule deer licenses that are allocated to a non-resident any archery license. And, you know, again, that's right now with the low mule numbers that we're in right now, it's approximately, I believe, 160 of those. And then we have over-the-counter whitetail licenses for non-residents, and there was last year, I believe, about 1,800 of those that were sold. So, you know, in the big scheme of things, it's a pretty small amount of non-residents. But again, a lot of that, you know, those laws are controlled at the legislature as far as what dictates the department's actions on that.
Thanks for the call, Roger. Let's go to Wes in Mercer County, listening on KFIRE. What's on your mind, Wes?
Okay, I'd like to specifically address the issue of CRPs somehow having to do with a decrease in deer numbers. I have asked an open records request for the scientific data in which the North Dakota Game and Fish Department is basing their lack of deer numbers on CRP. The reality of it is when CRP came into existence, it virtually destroyed the community of the small communities in North Dakota because it took so much land out of production. Now, I would like your guest to address the issue of exactly what scientific data they are basing their claim on that CRP and the lack of it is decreasing deer numbers. I find it so hard to believe, and I find it so disingenuous to blame the ag community on low deer numbers. And I would like him to explain where the scientific data is that ties low deer numbers, low pheasant numbers to CRP. Thank you.
Wes, I'd be more than happy to. One of the latest research projects is actually one that the North Dakota Game and Fish Department just recently conducted, and it was actually up in your area. And it found that 70% of the does that were reproducing successfully with fawns was in grassland base area. And there's a lot of different research out there that talks about the importance of that grassland component when you're talking about white-tailed deer, and of course when you're talking about pheasants, there's numerous research that supports that, and of course the licensing trend. For example, in 1980, early 1980s, we were harvesting approximately 100,000 pheasants in North Dakota before CRP. And when CRP was at the peak in North Dakota, we were harvesting approximately a million pheasants in
North
Dakota.
Hold that thought, if you would. Jeb will answer more of the question on the other side of the break. Jeb Williams from North Dakota Game and Fish with us today, talking deer opener this weekend. Give us a ring.
Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Find the easy links at whatsonyourmindradio.com.
Welcome to Soybean Minute. Now, here's Diana Biedelsbacher.
This is the time of the year to enjoy the spirit of the season with family and friends. As you prepare to gather around the dinner table, the North Dakota Soybean Council encourages you to incorporate soy foods into your favorite holiday recipes. Soy foods contain fewer calories, less saturated fat, and little to no cholesterol, making them a healthy choice for you and your family. Soy foods are also easy to prepare and simple to incorporate into your favorite dishes. From soy-based soups and salads to hearty dinner choices, there is a soy food option that will help you maintain a healthy, balanced lifestyle throughout the holiday season and beyond. For free soy recipes, contact the North Dakota Soybean Council or log on to ndsoybean.org.
This message is brought to you by the North Dakota Soybean Council and the Soybean Checkoff.
Loading and unloading grain is safer and more efficient than ever with the Roll-Tec electric conversion system from AgriCover. Featuring the new Command 10 remote with next-generation Zigbee technology. It's smart and easy to use, keeping you in control. This completely integrated system uses the same remote to wirelessly operate tarps and hoppers. Over time, the Roll-Tec electric conversion will pay for itself. Why? It reduces driver fatigue. It's lighter by design, and it saves time, allowing more trips per day. So schedule your install today by calling Dickinson Truck Equipment, 701-483-4369. Nelson Ripplinger Sales in Minot at 701-721-1252. Burt's Truck Equipment, East Grand Forks at 218-773-1194. Yankton Canvas in Jamestown at 701-252-6927. Or find a dealer near you. Go online to RollTechElectric.com. RollTechElectric.com.
Adam Miller here with Midas Resources. Today is October 29th, 2014. Gold opened at $1,223.40. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $1,268.34, $634.17 for a half ounce, or $317.09 for a quarter ounce. That's $1,268.34, $634.17, and $317.09.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? Wait a sec. Gold and silver is going up while Congress is trying to settle on the next debt increase, and there's no end to this madness. That old 401k and IRA can be converted into physical gold without tax consequences. I explained this in my book, 10 Reasons to Buy Gold. Don't let time slip away. Call for your free copy today, 800-686-2237. Get away from that Washington spin and get honest answers about gold. 800-686-2237. The book is free, 800-686-2237.
What's on your mind? We're talking about this weekend's treasured tradition for North Dakotans, and that is a deer hunting opener. Jeb Williams is with us, the new chief of the Wildlife Division at the North Dakota Game and Fish Department. Your questions welcome for him today at 800-228-0550. If you have any stories about how the pheasant hunting season's gone so far, you want to weigh in on that. Any questions for our friends from the Game and Fish Department are welcome at 800-228-0550, 701-258-0550. So Wes in Mercer County was asking you, Jeb, before the break, specifically if there were any statistics that prove out the assertion that the reduction in CRP acreage is the reason the deer population is down. You were in the middle of answering that question, so go ahead and finish.
Talking about that issue, there of course a lot of research, and again, I mean, there's the anecdotal evidence that we have in North Dakota that shows the trends as far as wildlife numbers, you know, from 1985, you know, continuing forward when CRP hit the landscape, and not only CRP, but it was from, you know, several years prior to that when we had the soil bank days in North Dakota. I mean, it just definitely shows that parallel there between, you know, habitat conditions and good wildlife numbers. And we know that, you know, CRP isn't the only component, of course, that allows, you know, for white-tailed deer, you know, to survive and to do well in North Dakota. I mean, there's other components. I mean, obviously tree rows, you know, shelter belts, those different types of things, because obviously some good winter cat habitat is needed for those critters as well. And so it's just a piece of the puzzle. But again, if a person takes away that piece of the puzzle, you know, there's impact to be said there.
Let's go to Mike in McIntosh County, listening on 550K Fire for our guest from the North Dakota Game and Fish Department. Go ahead, Mike. Mike, are you there?
Yes, I'm there.
Go ahead, sir.
I am from McIntosh County, and we have an abundance of deer. In the wintertime, you go to Ashley, North Dakota, there's a herd of 200-300 on the west side of town. I just am 15 miles away. I had a herd of over 100 close to us. They're being hit by vehicles. They're contaminating hay. You guys got this all wrong in our area. If you're counting deer and CRP, the deer are in the cornfield, guys. That's where they are. You guys need to reevaluate the situation. Come to McIntosh County and shoot hundreds of them. They're a nuisance. The auto body shops are busy with deer collisions every day. I think Game and Fish has done a terrible job in our county managing the deer and the coyote population. Whether it be their responsibility or not, that's my thoughts, and I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
Okay, well, Mike was pretty honest there, Mike, I think. You know, I guess just to reply to that, I mean, there's no doubt that in certain areas there are pockets, and, you know, the Game and Fish Department, we don't survey deer in CRP. We have standardized aerial surveys that survey winter blocks and have been doing so for 60 plus years, where we have that consistent trend information. We don't have an exact number of deer in North Dakota. That's not how wildlife management works. We have trend information that is provided over the years, flying consistent surveys in the wintertime when we have adequate snowfall, using hunter harvest questionnaires where approximately a quarter of our deer hunters are surveyed annually to help with determine harvest success rates. And we know over the last several years that harvest success rates have been hanging around that 50% rate, and down in that area, in McIntosh area, I mean, McIntosh County area has been kind of the same. It hasn't been much above 50%, and so, you know, traditionally our harvest success rate, we have a goal of about 70% harvest success rate, and that's kind of a barometer that we use, gauging on the public's expectation of deer harvest and those types of things. So there's no doubt that there are some factors going into a lower deer population, but In winter months, there's no doubt that deer still congregate. They still yard up no matter how many deer we have in North Dakota. You're still going to see those herds of, you know, like Mike said, up to 100, 200 deer, but definitely not the amount that we saw several winters ago, where you literally had 500 to 600 deer in some herds during the tough winter months.
David and Hebron, listening on K-Fire 550. Go ahead, David.
Yeah, I was at a Stockman's convention meeting 20 years ago or more, and the Central Grasslands at Streeter, the experiment station there, they did a study on the survival rate of birds in grassland. So they had pastures that they didn't have no cattle in. They had pastures where they had cattle in. Well, they had no cattle in, there was more nesting. But the survival rate was less because the cattle kept the predators out from eating the eggs. So CRP, they might nest in there, but they have a lot of better chance of predators destroying the eggs or the nests or the young birds than they do where there's cattle. And when I was born, I came to the farm I'm living on now. I'm 62, and there was never any pheasants here. But what brought the pheasants in was a neighbor here rented some land, and he started planting sunflowers. That's when the pheasants came. They didn't have nothing to do with CRP. They can be in CRP, but are they going to winter there when you get 90 inches of snow over the winter? Are they going to be in there? What's there for them to eat? All the seeds and whatever's falling out, there's nothing there for them. They got to come to a farmyard. That's the only way they're going to survive. My brother, he's got a mile and a half from me. He had four quarters of CRP right west of him. And in the winter when it was tough, they came into his sheds where the cows were in with calves, and they were nesting on the rafters. There was maybe 100 or more. They had to come someplace to a farmyard to survive because there was nothing, nothing in the CRP farm to survive on. Plus, the CRP was probably as deep as it was tall with snow. What are they going to do in there? As far as I'm concerned, they're all wet on their predictions. They got to back up and redo that. Okay, that's all I got.
All right. Do you have anything for David?
Well, I guess a couple things. I am aware of the study that he's referring to that was at the research center a number of years ago, 20 to 30 years ago, and that was on waterfall. And there's been a lot of different research components on nesting waterfall. But again, I mean, you know, our department or nobody's never argued that point as far as, hey, I mean, grassland is certainly a very valuable component, you know, when you're talking about nest reproduction, those types, especially for waterfowl. There's no doubt that just because there's grazing going on in that landscape doesn't mean that birds can't reproduce on there. I mean, you know, what we're talking about earlier, of course, is pheasants. Pheasants do need a little bit more cover as far as that reproduction capability versus waterfowl in a lot of instances. But I guess another thing that, you know, this gentleman brought up, that David brought up, is that there's no doubt that the cropping practices and things like that play a huge part in wildlife production as well. There's no denying that. But again, it's all in, they're all pieces to the puzzle. I mean, you know, a pheasant can't be on board here in North Dakota without food. A pheasant can't be on board here in North Dakota without that nesting area, without that prime area to be able to reproduce and be able to successfully do that. And so, you know, the dense grassland cover, or even grasslands, just for that matter, again, you know, play a big role, obviously, in pheasants and grouse and waterfowl in North Dakota. And then obviously the cropping practices and the food source is very valuable as well.
Aaron in Minot listening on KTGO has a question on deer season. Alan in Portland listening on AM 1100 The Flag on deer population. Mark up in Braddock as well listening on 550 K-Fire. You're on cue, on deck, next for Jeb Williams of the North Dakota Game and Fish Department after this break. Don't go away. This is What's on Your Mind.
You talk, we listen. Call 800-228-0550 and tell us what's on your mind.
In today's unstable environment, self-protection is critical. Civil unrest, riots, looting, it's happening now, right here in the United States, and your rights are at risk. If passed, H.R. 5344 would ban Level 3 and above body armor. KD Armor is standing up for you. We offer the most affordable Level 3 body armor on the market. KD Level 3 armor withstands pistol and rifle hits up to 7.62 NATO. Get yours at KDArmor.com. That's CATIArmor.com. KD Armor, come and take it.
Before you buy, give it a hometown try. KeepItLocal.com,
the Northland's most respected auto shopping website for over 10 years. Whether you're looking to buy or sell a car, truck, SUV, or boat, KeepItLocal.com keeps it simple. With hundreds of dealers and private sellers, our inventory changes daily. We are the source for finding your next auto or power sport item. Remember, KeepItLocal.com, we keep it simple.
Before you buy, give it a hometown try. KeepItLocal.com.
What good is a big Berkey water filter? We get that question a lot here at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And in a word, the answer is protection. Protection from water main breaks, E. coli contamination, environmental chemical spills, pesticide runoff, chlorine taste and smell, and all forms of fluoride. Plus, Big Berkey water filters are the original gravity water filter system and most trusted on the market for a reason. Tested by multiple independent NSF EPA certified labs, they are the gold standard in water purification. At only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. That means big savings. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get a Big Berkey today at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit our website or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
On Facebook, on the news, and in conversations with friends, we're bombarded every day with advice on how to be healthier, from gluten-free and non-GMO diets to how much exercise and sleep the body needs. But how much have you heard about alkalizing the body? AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are a holistic and natural way to get your body's pH levels back in balance. Just a few drops in water will help your body rid itself of harmful waste, and even the healthiest of diets can be complemented with your daily use of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Who isn't looking for more vibrance, vigor, and energy? Now buy two bottles of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops and get $10 off your order. Visit AlkaVision.com or call 800-518-7615. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are packed with a powerful combination of the most alkaline minerals and compounds. Open the door to greater health, vitality, and zest for life. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health. Call 800-518-7615 or head to AlkaVision.com.
What's on your mind? 28 before the top of the hour, brought to you today in part by our friends at MyPillow.com. How'd you sleep, Todd?
Well, why don't you ask my cat that?
Never enough sleep.
Neither Carrie nor I managed to confiscate the pillow before the cats claimed it.
Is that right?
I've got to buy five more.
So you need more pillows.
Wow.
How about the pillow's so good, his cat is sleeping on it, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know if we could get a better endorsement. Now, here's the deal. My pillow, the one I sleep on, the one Todd's cat sleeps on, has been selected as the National Sleep Foundation's official pillow. And that has given us an opportunity to offer you a heck of a deal. Two for one on the original classic pillow. And it's a savings of 50%, and all you need to do is call this special number just for What's on Your Mind listeners, 800-506-9028, or you can go to MyPillow.com, use the promo code Scott, and by the way, this has a patented interlocking fill, so it adjusts to any sleep position. It stays cool, so you don't toss and turn. It comes with a 10-year warranty. It will not go flat, and they back it all up with a 60-night money-back guarantee. It's a great deal. Machine washable, dryable, non-allergenic. You're going to love it. Trust us. 800-506-9028 or MyPillow.com, promo code Scott. All right, back to the calls. And Jeb Williams, the new chief of the Wildlife Division, North Dakota Game and Fish Department, taking your calls today. Deer opener, pheasant season, anything on your mind for the Game and Fish Department, let us have it. Aaron and Minot listening on KTGO, you're next.
Hey, guys. First of all, Scott, I want to thank you for all your coverage on this election thing. You really opened up my eyes to a few things. The question I've got for the Game and Fish is, I know you can use your bow for gun season, but can you use a muzzleloader during deer gun season?
You can. You can use a muzzleloader to fill your deer gun season tag. In that, of course, it has to be within that designated unit. If you have a muzzleloader license, you cannot use anything else other than a muzzleloader, and it has to be, of course, within that, you know, just that 2-week period. That's per state law. But yeah, if I understood your question right, if you have a gun license, can you fill that gun license with a muzzleloader? Yes, you can. You can actually fill that with a bow, of course, as long as it's during the deer gun season.
All right. Thank you, sir.
You're very welcome.
Good luck, Aaron. Alan in Portland, listening on AM 1100, The Flag. You're next. What's on your mind?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. My question is why are the buck tags the same as the doe? If you're trying to increase the deer population, why aren't we taking more bucks to allow more people to hunt? It doesn't take that many bucks to breed the does.
Well, over the last 7 years, the majority of the reduction that we've had in North Dakota for trying to grow our deer herd has been the reduction in antlerless licenses. And so is your question, how come we're not continuing to issue more buck license out there for additional opportunity?
That's correct. Like back in the late 70s, they used to have a buck-only tag you used to be able to buy over the counter.
Correct, and that is something that we have kept buck licenses up there to the best of our ability to provide for that opportunity. But of course, over time we like to try to manage things even in the buck population as well, and so we have to take that into consideration as far as not just allowing unlimited harvest of bucks and that type of thing, because again, we don't manage for deer size, for antler size in North Dakota, but that is something that we hear from a lot of people that I don't think that the masses would be in favor of, as far as issuing so many buck licenses out there that over time it definitely would have an impact on the size of some deer that are on the landscape.
Well, the areas I hunt, there's never been a problem with the buck population. I mean, for every buck you harvest, you let 20 go. And the amount of does is down so far that I can't see why they're not reducing the does and increasing the bucks just in the general lottery, if not over the counter.
Sure. Well, and again, that has been our direction over the last 6 years pretty consistently, is we have drastically reduced the antlerless licenses available. And we also have done that with bucks as well, just because, again, the overall picture of the deer herd has shrunk pretty dramatically over the last number of years. And so, just to keep consistent with that shrinking deer herd, we have decreased the amount of buck licenses, but not as drastically as the antlerless licenses. You are correct in that aspect.
Thanks, Alan. Appreciate it. Going to keep rolling here. Mark and Braddock listening on 550 KFIRE. What's on your mind?
Well, I would just wanted to know, in this recent audit of Game and Fish, you had employees charging meals to the Game and Fish. I'm just wondering if you confiscated their flatware.
Our jokester today. How about that? Yeah. There you go. Jeff in Rolette County listening on KTGO. What's on your mind, Jeff?
Good morning, gentlemen. Hey, I've got a couple brothers that farm up here, and they have a real big problem with the amount of deer that come in. The one brother grinds hay and corn for feed for the cows, and, he's counted, his wife has counted up to 150, 200 deer up there, and before long, all of that feed is basically gone. They can go through 20 bales in a week. And the other brother has a problem with deer punching hole into his grain bags. And just basically every night they come in and have a smorgasbord of what kind of grain he's got in his grain bags. What is the proper law? What can a farmer do to protect his investments like hay or grain against the deer population?
Well, I'll touch on that as far as what we do to provide assistance, with landowners in that situation. I'll talk about brother number one first with the chopped hay and silage and that type of thing. I would encourage your brother to contact one of our district offices and work with one of our staff members that can come out and evaluate the situation. We provide short-term protection. We provide long-term protection to individual landowners. As far as hay yards go, we provide materials, we deliver materials, we provide a $2,500 cost share for individual landowners to put those materials up and protect their stored livestock, winter livestock feed supplies. We provide some, on certain occasions, some panels because we recognize that not all situations would benefit from a hay yard type situation. So we provide some flexibility with individuals in being able to put panels around certain areas. And we work with that individual one-on-one to kind of come up with a design that's going to work for the individual operator. Because again, we know in North Dakota, 95% of land is privately owned. As long as we have deer in the state and as long as we have a tough winter weather, those deer are going to go somewhere for some type of a free handout during the winter months. And we're fortunate that the majority of landowners in North Dakota are pretty tolerant of that situation. But again, everyone reaches some type of a boiling point where enough is enough. And so we try to work with each individual landowner that contacts us, and we evaluate the situation and have a number of tools available to help offset those problems that those landowners are working with and dealing with. And I have to say, 90-95% of the time, we have a very successful relationship with that individual landowner.
All right. Any other answers for Jeff, or we get it all?
That's it.
I appreciate it, Jeff. Thanks for listening. Chris in Newtown listening on KCJB. What's on your mind?
Yes, I'm calling about the bow season, how it starts so early and they don't get it. They get a chance to take very good mature bucks before they have a chance to breed. And very successful rate on that part with baiting and luring them in that way. I was just calling to see, is the season always going to be in that early September, October part?
Well, that's
not about dragging it back.
Well, the majority of the harvest actually comes, you know, for our statistics associated with archery harvest come later in the season. And so the majority of the harvest actually comes after the rut, after the breeding season. But, you know, is there some harvest, before that, you know, early November, mid-November period when the rut is really hot in North Dakota? Yeah, there is some harvest associated with that. But, you know, we also have, youth seasons going on then too, where there's some things. So, you know, we recognize that there are some things that take place before that. But again, does it matter in the big scheme of things? Are we taking away, are we harvesting so many bucks that the does are not being able to be bred out in the landscape? No, that's not the case.
So
we don't have any plans, any changes, you know, as far as looking at a change of the length of the archery season. That's something that I think archers appreciate as a 4-month season. Are we going to be asking, some people to sacrifice some things as we move forward during these lean times with trying to spread out as much opportunity as possible? We are. I mean, everybody's going to have to sacrifice something, but that's not going to be one of the things we're looking at as far as reducing the archery season. It still provides pretty good opportunity for people who choose to participate with that.
Thank you for your time.
You bet.
Thanks for the call. Chris Glenn in Mandan, listening on 550K Fire. Go ahead for Jeb Williams of the North Dakota Game and Fish Department.
Yeah, I was wondering, years ago as a child, we used to fish in a little lake called Reeves Lake, up by Devil's Lake, Tokyo, Warwick, up in that area. And is there any of them chain pickerels left in North Dakota?
I don't believe so.
Oh, nuts. They were good, good fish.
Is that right?
Oh yeah, wonderful little fighters. They looked a lot like a northern, and they could give you just about all the fight you wanted.
Well, I tell you what, I'll have to visit with our fisheries folks and get a history perspective on that. You said Reeves Lake?
Yeah, Reeves Lake. It was up by between Tokyo and Warwick, up in that area.
Well, you know what? Here's what I'll do. I'll visit with our fisheries folks and get a history perspective, and then I'll pass on the information to Scott Peterson and Bob Timming, who are going to be joining Mr. Todd Mitchell tomorrow afternoon on the K-Fire Cafe. That is, what time is it? About
3 to 5.
They'll be in
the lake for 4 o'clock. So,
yeah, so yeah. I'll get that information.
We got to find Glenn some pickerel.
Yeah, we'll try to pass them on.
We're on it, Glenn. Thank you for the call. Nathan sends a note. What is truly driving the debate on the deer tag system? Hunters complaining about lack of opportunity. North Dakota has a good system in place to manage deer tags. People need to learn some patience. I'd venture to say more deer are killed by vehicles than bow hunters and muzzle loader hunters combined.
Yeah. Well, you know, what's getting harder, with that, Scott, is that, you know, for the last couple of years, we've had about 30,000 people who have been, you know, pretty much completely left out of the deer lottery and not receiving any tag at all. And so it's the department, again, if the system was working accurately when we were issuing 150,000 licenses, I think it's only fair to look at it now in 1980 and say, is it working the way it was, the way it should be with low deer licenses too? So it's just an evaluation process for if the department needs to relook at the way we allocate licenses.
All right, we'll take a break. Last chance to ask our guest a question. in this final segment. The new chief of the Wildlife Division, North Dakota Game and Fish Department, Jeb Williams, with us today on What's on Your Mind. More coming up. Don't go away.
You're listening to the program that asks a very important question every day. What's on your mind? 800-228-0550.
Watford City. We're not the same. We're better. We're building, rearranging, and making room to improve the lives of our growing community. Today, we're sushi bars, fine dining, movie theaters, superior hotels, shopping centers, Main Street business, and small town service. We're water parks, play parks, walking paths, a state-of-the-art wellness center, and an up-and-coming community event center equipped for banquets, meetings, sports, special events, and much more. We're Watford City. We're kids first. Parks and rec programming, quality education, school and hospital expansions, and a superior daycare center. We're new jobs, new housing developments, new ideas, and new people coming home. We're what the buzz is all about, and we're open for business. Come see for yourself. Watford City. We're not the same. We're better.
Megan's on the phone from the North Dakota Truck Wash to talk about a new service they have 24-7 at the North Dakota Truck Wash just south of the Pinnacle Senex in Stanley on the truck bypass. Interior detailing. Tell me about it, Megan.
Absolutely. We do interior detailing for both pickups and semi-trucks. We do request that you drop it off overnight. Drop it off overnight, and it'll be ready first thing the next morning.
They're open 24-7. What a deal. Drop it off. The interior detailing's done. Pick it up in the morning, ready to go at the North Dakota Truck Wash. Call them at 701-628-1550.
Hunting for me is getting away from everything. I enjoy hunting with my son more than anything. Someday he'll have memories like I have of hunting with my dad. There's just no better feeling when a customer says, you know, that gun you sold me last year worked perfect. That is, to me, what it's all about. I'm Leon Streifel, and I'm one of the hunting experts at Shields.
Shields, when it comes to gear and expert advice, we're right there with you in Bismarck, Minot, Grand Forks, Fargo, and Moorhead.
Howdy folks, Pharmacist Ben here, nutritional pharmacist and skincare chemist. If you've heard me on my daily health and wellness program, The Bright Side, you know I'm on a mission to spread the good news about the power of nutritional supplementation to correct your healthcare challenges and get you feeling vital and healthy once again. I want you to call 877-279-9422 and check out the powerful, affordable line of nutritional products from Youngevity, the ones I take and the ones I recommend. That's 877-279-9422 or go to www.gcnminerals.com. Why simply mask your symptoms with toxic pharmaceutical drugs when you can address causes with vitamins and minerals? I suggest the Healthy Start Pack. It gives your body the essential 90 nutrients it needs. Most people notice a difference right away. You can sign up to help me spread the good news of health and wellness without drugs and maybe make a little money too. And while you're there, don't forget to check out my important video message. That's GCNminerals.com or call 877-279-9422. And remember, friends, good nutrition is good medicine.
You pick up the receiver with your heart racing and sweat dripping from your forehead. You finally muster the courage to dial the number to call into your favorite talk radio show. It rings once, twice, and then...
Hello, it's GCN. What's your name and the state you're calling from?
Surprised you got through, you squeak out.
Jason from Minnesota.
Please hold.
As you patiently wait for your turn, you begin to daydream about being a famous talk radio host and what it would be like to have your own show.
Jason from Minnesota, you're up.
Millions of loyal listeners worldwide waiting to call and talk to you. You.
Caller, are you there?
Cheering crowds surround you, calling out your name.
Jason! Going once. Twice. Okay, we gotta move on to the next caller.
You blew it.
Huh? Wait. No!
Interact with the host you're listening to right now online at gcnlive.com. Click on the community link. Engage with other listeners. Ask questions. Start debates. Don't agree with the host? Let them know. Be a part of the community at gcnlive.com.
Brought to you in part today by our friends at the North Dakota Farm Bureau, and they help us find out what's on the minds of farmers and ranchers. So we want to go out to Page, North Dakota, and find out from Dale what he thinks about being an informed voter. Dale, tell us.
Agriculture is an important part of the economy, but as our farm population dwindles and the misunderstanding about why we do what we do grows, I understand how important it is for me to learn about the candidates and issues and be an informed voter. We can have a say in our future by being informed and voting. A lot of places in the world don't have this opportunity. It is hard to be properly informed by just the contradictory ads out there. We must dig deeper, weigh the information carefully, and determine what is best for the future of agriculture and North Dakota.
Good advice.
That's how a person can make a difference.
There you go. Thank you. Sorry, Dale. I was a little quick to the trigger there on Dale's advice. Dale is a farmer from Page. I want to thank you for sharing what's on your mind. Farmers and ranchers, you can find out more at ndfb.org, North Dakota Farm Bureau, bringing ag home. Brought to you today by our friends at High Plains Apache as well. They are sprayer central. If you need it for a sprayer, they've got it. One focus, sprayers. The product experts, the customers are satisfied. And by the way, new and used. They're your Apache sprayer dealer. So they have new and used Apache sprayers. They have other types of sprayers as well. And check out their full selection at highplainsapache.com, their website, highplainsapache.com. And stop and see them. Find out about that ET Ag Center. They're your source for access to 50,000 of the most popular name brand items in the application industry. High Plains Apache, Mandan, Frontier, which is just south of Fargo. Tell them that Scott and Todd sent you. All right, our final chance to find out what is on the minds of deer hunters heading into a busy weekend. The chief of the Wildlife Division, Jeb Williams, with us from the North Dakota Game and Fish Department. And we're going to go as quickly as we can to try and get to all of these callers. Some of you earlier wanted to talk about pickerel. Now somebody wants to talk about perch, so you might have another note for your fishery friends there. Arlen and Devil's Lake, what's on your mind?
Yeah, see, I was just wondering if he knew if there was any perch. I had heard that about 10, 12 years ago they had planted some perch in this. Used to be a slough. When I was a kid, I used to drive my horse across it. But with all the rain the last 20 years, it got about 15 feet deep. And I'd heard they had planted perch in that lake. It's 3 miles north and 2 miles east, or 3 miles east of Bremen, if you know where that's at.
You know, I'm not...
I was wondering if there was any perch in there. Yeah.
Well, I don't know, but
it's so another question for tomorrow's K-Fire Cafe, right?
There's a good chance that there are, with as many you know, with the wetland conditions that we have, and as far as everything overflowing the last number of years, there's a lot of perch in places that the department never stocked anything in. But of course, mm-hmm. with the natural overflow, that perch have found their way there. So there's probably a good likelihood that there might be.
And Arlen, Jeb is from the Wildlife Division of Game and Fish, but tomorrow afternoon, after 4, Todd, you're having the folks in the Fisheries Division on?
Yes, sir.
So you might want to give a call back and get your answer there. Richard and Garrison, listening on KFIRE, what's on your mind?
Well, I think they're doing a great job, actually, with the deer population. There's so many variables that they can't control that it's really out of their hands. One of the things I think they should take a look at is the plots program. If the other day I want to go hunting and I don't have any property and, you know, I own my own house, but you go out to one of the plots areas to hunt, because that's pretty much what I've got is state land to hunt on, and you pull up to the area, and it's supposed to be a good hunting area, and it's a hayed field that's cut about as short as my yard. And last time I checked, I didn't have any fence in my front yard, so...
Well, let me speak to that a little bit, Richard. We have a variety of programs under the plots umbrella, and the okay. Working Lands Program is one of those programs, and that's the goal of that program, is we recognize that an individual landowner doing what he's doing on the land in North Dakota, there's a variety of different things that are very beneficial. There's some natural drainages, some creeks, some shelter belts, things like that, but the individual isn't maybe necessarily interested in any type of retirement-type programs. They're paid a lesser amount of money for that individual access, but recognizing that not every stitch of it is going to be, good wildlife opportunity. But there are going to be certain portions of that property that you're going to have excellent opportunity on. And so we have a different number of programs available for private landowners in North Dakota. We try to stay as flexible as possible to give as many options to individual producers as we can. And so that's probably what you're seeing in this situation. And that piece that you're talking about, that individual landowner isn't necessarily getting paid, for that. What they're getting paid for is probably the different shelter belts they have, or the creek that they're not able to hay or they don't hay, some type of habitat component that we know is going to be there for the hunter during that fall.
One more quick one. Jim and Bismarck, real quick with your question, please.
I was just wondering if you ever thought of
moving the rifle season off the rut, either before or after?
It's been talked about. It's been proposed from the public. It's not overly popular with the majority of the public, but there are many individuals out there who certainly would be in favor of us doing so, and they have brought that to our attention in the past.
Thank you.
You like the idea, it sounds like, huh, Jim?
Yeah, I think it'd be beneficial, to my point.
There's no doubt, Jim, that the department could issue more licenses, more buck licenses than North Dakota if the deer gun season was away from the rut. But the majority of people, are against that. The majority of people don't have a lot of time to take off vacation to hunt, and so they try to be as efficient as they can with a couple days they have available, and the rut definitely helps them out with that.
Jim, thanks a bunch. Jeff, thank you. Glad to have you.
Always good to see you guys, Scott.
Be safe out there, folks, and all the election results analyzed tomorrow. In the meantime, if you haven't voted, get out there and do your civic duty and vote today. And thanks for listening to What's on Your Mind. For Todd Mitchell, I'm Scott Hinnan. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye. You know, the words free and Mercedes-Benz don't often go together. But we've teamed up with my friends at Valley Imports for one heck of a deal. Hi, everybody. I'm Scott Hinnan. I've had the honor and pleasure of driving a Mercedes-Benz lately, doing a little test driving for some of our fine listeners, especially that GL class. Wow, is that an SUV? And when you're in the Bakken, you want a safe vehicle. That's a safe vehicle. So's the ML, the C-Class, the E-Class. No matter what you're looking for, go to valleyimports.com. Don't find what you're looking for. They'll get it for you. But here's the free part. You mention my name. You buy a Mercedes-Benz with Valley Imports, they're going to give you 2 years of free maintenance. Plus, you get the 24/7 service. If it breaks down, they're coming to you. You can't beat a deal like that. They'll find what you're looking for. You'll get the best price. And you know what? You'll be safe. What's that worth? ValleyImports.com or call 888-928-7431 or online at ValleyImports.com. Tell them Scott sent you.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy. And get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Three square meals you'll need in an emergency. So the Freeze Dry Guys three square meal unit sale is just a ticket. A variety pack of tasty, nourishing breakfast, lunch, and dinner on sale now. Breakfast is Freeze Dry Guys' favorite. Hot oatmeal and sweet dehydrated bananas. Lunch is Mountain House freeze-dried hot macaroni and cheese and crisp green beans. And dinner is Mountain House long grain wild rice pilaf and hearty beef stew, vegetables, and gravy. Call Freeze Dry Guy and ask for details on the 126 serving three square meals unit. One case normally $164.37, sale price at only $138.90. Save over $25. Get two or three cases and save even more. Or ask about Freeze Dry Guys fall chili special. Always free shipping to lower 48 states. Call 866-404-3663 or click freezedryguy.com. And hurry, the fall chili special and three square meals unit are on sale while supplies last. From the Freeze Dry Guy, the finest freeze dried and dehydrated foods available for long term storage, period.
At 30dayfoodsupply.com, you can now purchase a one-of-a-kind product not available anywhere else, a meatless burger dry mix in four delicious flavors. With our new Oregon Trail Foods vegan burgers, all you do is add water and fry. They need no refrigeration. They're packaged in Mylar bags with an oxygen absorber for a long shelf life. They're non-GMO. They're gluten, soy, nut, and chemical-free, but they're loaded with flavor and a good source of carbs and protein, yet low in sodium. Flavors include Italian, spicy Mexican,
Mexican, 6 vegetable, and black bean olive. Go to 30dayfoodsupply.com or call 541-229-0010 and order today. Eat them every day. Take them camping or save them for an emergency. Check them out at 30dayfoodsupply.com and click on the vegan burger icon. That's 30dayfoodsupply.com, where all of our products are produced in Oregon by Oregon Trail Foods. 30dayfoodsupply.com.